You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
I'm so excited.
Yay! We're here.
Bing is for doing, and we are so excited to be back doing a new season of The Newsroom. We are in season 2, episode 1. First thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. I'm your host, Kelly, and back with me are three of my favorite people, and we have an extra special guest tonight. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I am Kristen Carroll.
I'm Kendra Caviso.
I'm Sarah, the most favorite of Kelly.
and
I'm John Comerford.
And yes, she is the favorite.
And John is coming here to lend a very strong male voice to our female panel tonight.
Yes. We need male presence in here.
I didn't realize that.
You're the Will McAvoy of our group.
Yes, the Will McAvoy of our group.
Party and party.
So let's get started. I'm so excited for this show to be back. Sarah and I had the fortunate pleasure of visiting the Paley Fest panel with The Newsroom, and Aaron Sorkin and Jeff Daniels and the entire cast were there.
In the flesh.
In the flesh here in Los Angeles. When was it? Back in March?
Yeah.
So it's been a little while since we did that, but the Q&As, a lot of information that we learned, and we actually got a sneak peek at the season opener episode on that day. But what's really funny is they changed it.
They did. Ever since, so they actually, and I guess we could talk about this more later, but Sorkin rewrote like 3 of the episodes,
which the opening episode seemed to be one of them, because I remember it to be a little bit different from what we saw than what we saw tonight. But either way, it was still a fantastic episode. But do you guys want to start with a little recap from last season?
Yes.
So where where did we leave off?
Back
we left
time.
Off with the Maggie's Sex in the City rant, or Sex in the HBO is calling it a Sex in the Pity rant.
Yeah, nice.
When she and finally accepted and acknowledged her feelings for Jim.
In front of Jim.
One of the best, I think one of the best scenes I've seen in a while, which is pretty funny. But she, at the end, she ends up going back to Don.
Because that's the safe way to go about it.
You know, she's kind of a chicken. Mackenzie and Will are in a groove, working together well, and he's coming back. They've changed Newsnight. They're on a roll, making everybody mad.
And Newsnight, as the season was ending, is kind of in danger because, you know, with Will having the making the comment of the American Taliban, that's just enough ammunition that the network needs to get him out of there.
Right, so it's a big controversy. He called the Tea Party the American Taliban, and now we're going into the new season and the repercussions of what that has led to. And the episode opens with they're in a conference room with a lawyer, and it looks like a deposition. Is that like a deposition?
But it's a friendly one because it's your own lawyer finding out the facts.
So they're in there about this story that we really haven't gotten all into yet. We first hear of this black operation called Genoa, and apparently that's what's leading to them being really in trouble legally, and we really don't know all the effects of that yet. We're flashbacking in to find out what happened.
And so that's going to be throughout the whole season.
We know there's
something wrong is pretty much it right now. We know that they've done something wrong. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of repercussions that they're facing now, but we're just still starting to get the details.
And this seems to be the biggest one, aside from all the other things that they've done and made people mad. This is the biggest one. They reported something, had to retract it, and now they're really in trouble.
Right. Especially when Will said that they had to retract it because he felt they needed to. So, you know, it's a big deal when Will is saying, and it wasn't the DOD that made them do it. Right. He was the one that said, we did this wrong.
we need to retract this right now.
So it's a military operation, so it's obviously something like war crimes. This is something serious.
In an article online, Aaron Sorkin actually said that when we find out what it is that they do, it's so huge that it'll make the mishap that happened with Dan Rather look like just a mere mispronunciation.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm definitely excited to get more into that.
It's supposedly a big deal.
Crazy. Well, Reese is running in the rain to this judicial hearing and gets kicked out. They won't let him in. And I loved the bouncer in front of the courtroom. Like, he is not having it, not letting this guy in. And Reese being Reese, of course, he wants to try to strong arm his way in. Not happening.
Right. And he's actually already out, right? He's already out of the mix, Reese.
Yeah, but he didn't get fired. He didn't get in trouble. The whole blackmailing thing with TMI and him tapping phones, apparently they worked that out internally. So he's not fired. He's still back.
I was a little surprised with that. I thought he was getting kicked out to show that they had done something with all that TMI stuff, but he's still there. But I guess mommy's in charge. So
I think the point with that is the U.S. House of Representatives, those people didn't want to let him in because they associate him with AWM and they know that Will McAvoy had made that comment about the American Taliban.
Well, so the Tea Party backs the SOPA, usually, I believe.
Yes. So he wanted to get into this SOPA meeting because they were talking about they needed to help create that law to help from people like stealing music and all that because they own ISPs and all of these things. ACN not only does the news, but they own a lot of different things. So it would be helpful for them to be in this meeting to help create this law so they're not losing money.
Right.
And he's kicked out of there. They're not letting him in. And nobody
is friends. Has he never gone to a club? You got to grease the palm.
He was not. He was not doing it.
In that guy's hand. You'll be in.
He wasn't even doing it the smooth way. Yeah, he was just trying to be.
I thought he was just kidding because he wasn't dressed right. You know, you can't get into a club.
You got to send like
good.
A Sloane Sabbath in there. His suit was she would have gotten in.
Yeah.
He just called him the man with the clipboard. Oh, yeah. So
you can't mess with the man with the clipboard.
No. I think one of my favorite lines from that was where he says, you know, you're the guy with the clipboard. I need to talk to somebody better. And the guy says, well, who's keeping you from doing that?
And
he's a great comeback.
Me.
And what do you do from there? He has to just kind of sulk away.
Right.
And then we get back to a meeting with Charlie and Fiona and Reese.
Speaking of great lines from the evening, should we do our Sorkinism of the evening?
Yes, Sorkinism from the night. Go for it.
So every after show now, we're going to pick our favorite line from the episode. And tonight, it was from actually the first scene where, Will is explaining to the lawyer. And
Marcia Gay Harden, by the way.
Rebecca. Yes, Rebecca Halliday. Halliday.
Yes, and her, whoever's note-taking for her. And he's talking about Genoa. Yeah. And he looks at both of them and says, it's not Geneva, guys, it's Genoa, just to clarify. And she's like, did I say Geneva? He's like, no, but
the guy typed it.
And then he's like, yeah, you're right, I did. And the lawyer was surprised. How did you know that? And he responded saying, I don't like to talk about it. But I know things. It's been a problem. It's been since I was a kid.
People have called it a gift.
Yeah.
He's sometimes a burden. He's psychic. He's joking with them. And that's how the meeting starts in this little friendly deposition. Yeah. And it just sets the tone for the rest of the episode, I think. It was pretty funny.
I'm glad we started off with that.
Antagonistically friendly.
Yeah.
Right. There's no other way to start a Sorkin episode than with banter like that.
Oh, absolutely. And in the dry way he delivers is just classic. I love it.
Yes. So that is our Sorkinism of the night.
If you guys have a better one or one that you also think is great.
You said I couldn't say it, so I can't.
Well, you can say it. We'll say it later. Don't worry.
Marissa, do you have the beep ready?
There's a lot of great ones. So basically everybody's in trouble now and they're all trying to figure it out. And in the beginning of this, we also get a new look for Maggie, which is very surprising. Oh, she walks into this room and she is not okay. Something has happened to this girl.
Okay, by the way, go back. As soon as she walks in, all of us go, what?
No, it was not. It was absolutely not okay. She walks in to give Will some paperwork and she's got a pixie cut that's red.
Very
no
girl with
makeup.
A dragon tattoo.
Yes.
That's what Rebecca calls it.
Girls do stuff.
Girls with the dragon tattoo.
Girls try things.
Yeah.
Well, and we found out she was sent to Uganda, and something happened that totally messed her up, and we have no idea what it is yet. and right. she just does not look okay, poor girl.
That yeah. she shouldn't have seen.
No.
We did a lot of fast-forwarding and rewinding.
Yeah.
In this
I noticed
episode.
Your hair are pretty much the same, so nothing too much happened in the last year.
Oh, we have not been away.
My hair underneath it is
Well, shortened. If you go back and watch the previous videos, you'll see my hair color change every other episode.
Haven't you heard that we live in the greatest country
Oh, yes, of course, of course. What makes it the greatest
our
country
hair,
in the world?
Therefore, our hair is like yeah. this.
So I'm really curious to see what happens. And unfortunately, and I'm sorry, guys, bear with us, but since this episode did rewind and fast forward, we're probably going to do the same thing because it's kind of hard to right. go back and forth, and we don't want to get confused. But
what did you guys think about that, that it kept hopping around from past to future or present? Which one's
personally,
present?
I always like it when they jump back and forth in time and space. I think it's fun, it's interesting, and you get to see. I love being informed of what's happening now based on what happened before. Mm-hmm. I just think it's great.
I do, too. I really like it. It keeps your eyes moving. There's no way to get bored. You really have to pay attention. I think that's one of the great things about Aaron Sorkin and the way he does the show.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. We're all dying to know why she changed her hair.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously something happened big. We don't know what
it
is.
It helps mm-hmm. with the anticipation yeah. because we do see her this, in the now, it's like,
yeah.
you know, the future.
Yeah. We want to know how so bad General is going to get.
Right.
Right.
We know it's horrible, but... So it does a great setup and reveal.
It's a lot of teasing.
And it's something new for season two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not getting into a repetitive pattern with how you're approaching Newsroom. He brought it into a different level by doing that.
And what I'm really fascinated, you know, because you said he rewrote the first three episodes, whether or not he got to the end of the season and said, you know what, this doesn't really, the way I started it doesn't help me end it, so I might have to redo that to make the ending better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to know. If that's what he did.
I also think that it lends itself to, you know, in a newsroom when you're breaking a story or you're trying to uncover the facts, you're kind of putting the puzzle pieces together. And that's very much now the layout, well, at least for this episode. So it feels like you're putting together the puzzle pieces of the show.
Yeah. Right. And
the characters.
We see that even in the introduction of the show, which changed. Mm-hmm. Now the opening credits are even different. Yeah. And it's images of New York. It's images of inside the office, inside the newsroom, coffee cups, all the different elements that get you from home into the newsroom. Right. I feel like that's what you watched. You see the city, you see inside, you see all these different elements. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. That's the way the show kind of went today.
I also think that by doing it engages the audience more because you're starting to go, oh, wait, why is she looking like that? Why is that happening? So I think you're more engaged in it that way rather than just sitting back and letting it happen to you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's more fun to watch that way.
Can we talk about, since you mentioned, there's so much to talk about because we're back after like a year, but since you mentioned the intro, what I noticed, the intro before was more like, you know, Will at the desk. Mm-hmm. It's almost like pontificating him, you know, like the newsman. And but then now that it's changed, it seems like it's more focused on the action, the work, rather than here is the news anchor. Like, here's the work that goes into putting on a newscast. You know what I'm saying? So the focus has become more news night. It's about the work, not about the man and the ratings and the celebrity. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I just noticed...
Showing the nitty-gritty a little bit more than just kind of what they're delivering. Like, what you see on TV is this, you know, high-profile, very sophisticated newsman. This is what the intro shows. But now we're seeing all that takes to get him to that point.
Right. So a parallel for, like, what Newsnight 2.0 is supposed to be.
That makes sense. I like that.
That's
interesting. That's a very interesting take on it. I like that. And that's another thing with the show is if you look at everything down to the way people are holding a pen or a cup or what they're writing on, all these different things mean something in the way that you take them. And I like that about it. It's so hard to watch it once and then have to come straight in here without having time to really sit and do that. But it kind of makes it more fun. And that's why we love for you guys to rate and comment and go to iTunes and let us know what you think about the episode and hear your theories and stuff about it.
Well, I'm anxious to know what your favorite Sorkin is.
I know.
We had some very vocal viewers last year. We'd like to hear what they think about this season.
Definitely. And let us know your favorites and we'll definitely try to, you know, pick a few and read them out. So definitely do that. So moving on to the news stories of this episode, we get into drones and Occupy Wall Street. And I love that Dev Patel's character, Neil, is expanding so more and more. Because in the first season, in an interview, he said that his role was originally supposed to be very small. Mm-hmm. And they made it bigger just for him. And I like to see him getting more involved.
Well, he's so charismatic on screen that I think it's one of those characters that they do give more roles or give more lines to increase mm-hmm. that role because the audience starts to feel for him mm-hmm. and they want to know more about him. And there's a lot of actors that you hear stories about that with. I always think of, you know, Bill mm-hmm. Murray and Caddyshack, where he was supposed to have two lines and he ends up being like one of the most favorite characters yeah. of that movie.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not hating too much on the Bigfoot storyline of last season, but because I thought that was actually just like a funny little comic thing on the side. Uh-huh. But it's good that he actually has something more of substance that he's chasing.
I was afraid he was going to pitch Bigfoot again in the
meeting. There are going to be some people that make the comparison that it's the same thing.
Yeah. It could be.
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, he's being given the chance now.
I think mm-hmm. it's very similar to what he was doing at the end where he was part of that trolling. And mm-hmm. they found out, they were trying to find out about the death threats and all of that. I think he likes to get involved and be more of an investigative mm-hmm. reporter eventually. And I mm-hmm. think that's a really cool thing for him to be able to do. And I think every newscast needs an investigative reporter to kind of get the insider point of view for that. And, you know, it's more plausible than a Bigfoot.
It'll help his confidence because he's really good at playing a tentative, you know, kind of scared mm-hmm. rookie, if you want to say. And so maybe over time, this is my prediction early again, but we'll see him, you know, move up in the ranks perhaps.
Yeah. I like how Mackenzie is with him because she's tough on him, but she also gives him opportunity to, you know, get experience out in the field. Mm-hmm. Because maybe she also sees, you know, she remembers the struggle from when she was him in the beginning of her career.
And I love with Mackenzie when they had the talk in the office where he said, I want to pursue this. And she goes, do you know how many protests I get a day? And it's so funny. You know, again, I'm not in hard news. I'm in slightly softer news. But we get stuff all the time, you know. People will reach out to us like, you need to cover this event. And we're like, well, do you have a big star there? For those who don't know, I work at E! News, which I hope is better than like a TMI. But you can have your own opinions on that. But for even for us, you know, if it's not, if it doesn't have a star power or doesn't have what we consider star power, but it doesn't have that aspect to it, we're not going to cover it. And mm-hmm. I even worked in hard news while I was in college, and even for that as well. We still got leads when I interned at a news station in Chicago. We'd get people calling, go, hey, there's this rally going on. And it's like, well, how many people are there? Well, there's about, you know, 30. Mm-hmm. Call us when it's, you know, 300,000 and then we'll cover it. Or at least 3,000.
Yeah, you definitely have to have more elements in a row. And, you know, I'm a publicist, so I'm pitching you to cover my clients and what they're doing. So I have to do, on the other side of that, relate to the people that want to send that message. Okay, well, you, like, basically what Neil was doing with the Occupy Wall Street girl that he was talking to later, you have to have one clear message, stick to it. What are you doing? What is your plan? It can't be all over the place because that, it doesn't seem real. They're going to make a joke out of you. Mm-hmm. And that is very true. And he's smart in that sense. He has a very good common sense about these things. He knows what he's doing, and I love that they're molding him to be a great reporter, and it looks like he's well on his way for that.
And it shows that he listens to mm-hmm. Mackenzie and to his team. He mm-hmm. he takes in the criticisms or suggestions that they have, and obviously he's using it for his advantage so that maybe he can get the story, but also he's helping that girl and her cause.
Yeah, just helping to structure. And you could tell nobody likes criticism. Nobody likes. It's very rare that you find someone that can really and truly take constructive criticism with ease.
Not even Will McAvoy, guys.
Not even Will, exactly. Yeah. But so she seems to get a little irked, but I think she's going to listen, and hopefully he did kind of get through to her, and we'll see. I mean, we saw from the preview of the next episode, he gets arrested. So something, you know, big comes. And then we know from what actually happened. Like, you know, it gets bigger than what it was. So I just want to see what his role actually is going to be
that. They set up already that he's walking a thin line because she asks, are you giving me advice or are you a journalist? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right then, he's already got an ethical issue. Mm-hmm. Well, he's advocating. He wants it. He wants Occupy Wall Street. He's advocating already.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Shelley even tells him, bring it up at the next meeting. So she's intrigued. She wants him to continue to be a part of this group. And
Mackenzie
wants to keep an eye on him.
I thought it was sarcastic, too. I didn't know if she was really wanting him to come in or not.
I think why would she say it otherwise?
I thought it was sarcastic. She was saying, yeah, bring it up at the next meeting. Like, he's not going to be at the next meeting.
Kind of to taunt him a little is what I thought, too.
Oh, I think I thought it was kind of the opposite, where it's like, you think you're a big man, like, come mm-hmm. to this. Not sarcastic. I think it was kind of a mm-hmm. let's see how much
like
this
challenging
means to you.
More so, yeah. You mean?
And I think she wanted to see if he has the guts to come mm-hmm. and do that, considering that he is part of the news station.
We talk. I don't know if we can talk about it, but we saw the coming up.
Yeah,
we know he's arrested,
obviously.
So
yeah,
he's
the guy.
He's a reporter who's now part of the story. So again, that's why I'm talking about the ethical issues he's going to have. So mm-hmm. and rookie mistakes.
Absolutely, that'll be another thing. Just add it to the list for that's this, right. this
rookie,
lawyer.
And also to go with the rookie mistakes, like he was wearing his credentials yeah. going to this meeting. Like you're supposed to blend in to get the inside info.
He's not a good undercover reporter yet. Yeah. He no. has a lot to learn.
He's barely out from behind the computer.
But next week he will be to the point where he's arrested along with the other.
Wait, but no, I'm covering. Here are my credentials.
He probably has it in his pocket, poor kid.
Oh, Neil.
Yeah, but they, you know, they just send him out. You don't really see anyone prep him for this or anything. It's just like, go and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So he is going to have to kind of learn this on your own. And I really think that that's one of the best ways to learn.
Yeah.
It's kind of a trial and error.
Well,
thing.
And let's face it, it makes far more interesting TV.
Oh, though. Absolutely.
Somebody make all those mistakes.
So. Definitely. So that's going to turn into a bigger story. So we'll hopefully see more of that in the next time. And then one of the other things, too, about Will being in trouble with this whole Taliban.
I'm sorry uh-huh. to interrupt, but was one thing we didn't cover on the Occupy Wall Street. Uh-huh. We talked about Neil saying, look, you need one clear message. But I thought her argument about how the press was going to – what the press does – because let's face it, the press killed that. I mean, they did not cover
that. They
did, that.
Right,
they
yes.
crapped all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And they treated them like fools and idiots, even though they might have had some legitimate.
I have to say, it created a great segment, and you need to look it up if you haven't seen it, on Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Where he goes down there. And I think if Jon Stewart is making fun of something like that.
But that's what I'm thinking. Like, when he says stick to one clear message, do you think that the reason the press also took it apart the way that it did was because they didn't? They went through the 14, like what they did.
But what I'm saying is her argument is absolutely true. The people who are running those things, they don't want actually that news out there.
Right.
They love the status quo. They don't want they don't want to upset that apple cart.
No.
So of course they're not going to give it legitimacy. They're going to do what they can to undermine it.
Yeah.
So I thought her argument was just as strong, but even in watching it, we paid more attention to his argument than to hers, but her argument was great.
No,
but
that's
it is
true. Yes.
Far more nuanced, far more complicated. Mm-hmm. His is stick to one clear message. You know, well, the issues that they brought up. I'm not saying that they're right in having 14 issues. I'm just saying that it actually really represented what struggle with Occupy Wall Street. They couldn't get a clear message, so again, mm-hmm. they're treated like jokes. But her argument was absolutely right.
So are you saying that their sides were like opposing in arguments? Because I saw it as like what he was saying is trying to help her out so that their cause is heard by the media.
No, I agree. But what she was saying is it won't matter how we did that anyway, because you're not going to cover it right anyway, because you don't want these real issues out there.
Because that doesn't make for good television.
It doesn't matter. Not only that. Not only that, but what they were trying to say is get the money out of... Well, they don't want the money out of politics. That's how they make their money.
And most of the time,
you tell them, John.
But it also goes back to kind of what was happening at ACN anyway, with the money and the advertisers and all that, and the reason why they were trying to change the news in the first place, and why Will couldn't say all of these things and the Koch brother thing, because where does this money come from to put the news on the air? So of course they're only going to report on things, on certain things, and it turns into a whole political issue anyway.
Yeah.
So no, that's absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a big thing.
Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
No, good.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. Absolutely.
Well, I'm kind of. I wonder if they take his advice eventually a little bit, because I know they had the slogan "We are the 99%," and that became kind of the clear message. However, then you can have a bunch of little things that you want to pick because you have a slogan. And she's right. We don't have the patience for complicated things in our society very often. And
well, not especially not on TV.
No.
We just don't.
No.
Which is...
Everybody's short attention span. See, I'm already over it. Next time.
What are we doing here?
So drones.
Well, no, even before that, with the, you know, back to this whole American Taliban, Will gets stripped from coverage on the anniversary of 9/11. Mm-hmm. So he's unable to cover this. Charlie pulls him from that. Mm-hmm. He's upset, doesn't really want to admit that he's upset. And, you know, we see him sitting on his patio.
Into the Mystic. By the way, I was very happy to hear Van Morrison being a big fan. So.
Yeah, he was a Van Morrison. What was he? Like,
Into the Mystic.
Smoking a cigarette?
Yeah, cigarette. Kicking it up.
Yeah, kicking it up. But I like how he answered the phone when Mackenzie called him, like he was a radio DJ.
Yeah.
And he did this whole little bit, which I thought was really cute.
He might have been eating some of those brownies again.
Well, I think he had a fancy cigarette.
It's medical, though, right? Yeah. Where we learned from season one, he has medical marijuana. I don't know what the laws are for
New York.
There goes
another debate that we can bring up.
Do they do that for ulcers? I don't know. Do you get prescriptions for ulcers?
Pain management.
Oh, for stress.
Right. Okay.
It's for stress.
All right, so he's in trouble. They're pulling stories from him. He's got to really fix that whole issue of people thinking he's into terrorism, I guess. It's kind of the message that's out there. Mm-hmm. So then we go into this drone story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a debate. There's a new producer. There's a new producer
Jerry.
That's under...
Jerry
under Mackenzie.
Dantana.
Yes,
he's
Jerry
filling
Dantana.
In.
He's filling in
what
from
DC. What a name,
DC.
Jerry Dantana.
To me, it sounds like it would be an anchor from, like, Anchorman.
Yeah.
Jerry yeah, to me, it sounds
Brian
like
Fontana.
A Latin pop star.
Or private investigator in Las Vegas. Dantana.
So, Jim feels
he kind
like
of
he
looks
has
like
to,
one, I thought.
Yeah. Jim feels like he's got to, you know, leave town. So he takes off on the Romney campaign. We'll get back to that in a minute. So Jerry comes in to fill in, and he's all drones all the time. He and Sloan are all about the drones. They're adamant about this story. They want to get it out there. They want to get the message. So Mackenzie allows them to put this panel together, and Will kind of lets it go awry a little bit.
That's because Jerry doesn't want to use.
Let the pitch go by.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the reason it goes awry is because Jerry wants to use one of his own guys, Cyrus West, instead of using Jim's guys. And Mackenzie's a little hesitant towards this because they like Jim's guys. They get good reactions.
They know
have
Jim's
a good rapport.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't know this guy is a question mark and it's a big topic and you don't want to say the wrong thing. So Cyrus is a retired Air Force
captain
mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes in there and spouts off.
Well, and here's the thing.
Period.
He never really said the wrong thing. It's just that nobody challenged him on anything.
Right.
So that was the... You know.
It was... His word was the
period.
Way it was.
Exactly.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Sloan was trying, but without Will on her side, it just wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And the point was, and they brought it up later, that they think that he was trying to make it seem like ACN was very anti-terrorist. Like,
right.
Let's get that point across because he's already in so much trouble for the comment that he made.
Yeah, but it wasn't ACN. He just wanted people to know didn't think he.
Exactly.
That
he
him.
Was a good. Yes. Mm-hmm. He just let it go
crazy.
By.
Yeah.
And I got to wonder a little bit, too. We know Will sometimes has little hissy fits if this wasn't.
What?
Not Will. Never.
Never. So maybe this was a moment where he was a little PO'd with that and he didn't want to stop it because they already took him off of the coverage on top of it. I think that might be a sliver of why he let it go because I think obviously that got to him. He said in the bar it was bugging the heck out of him. He's flipping out because
well, isn't
he can't
that
do
the what
coverage.
Mackenzie basically asked him? Was this the reason why? And he said yes. I think if I remember, it was kind of part of their conversation. I thought
you guys were saying
what,
that he was
saying,
trying to
that
cover that he's not a terrorist.
Yeah,
but I didn't think it was that more than that. I mean, maybe a sliver, but because his motivation is that he needs that audience. So I don't think it has much to do with being because when he's pissed, he does it a different way.
I think he's just so anxious, you know, about keeping the show afloat. And, you know, he knows Charlie's been there for him.
Well, he needs the love of the audience, and he's losing that. And he needs to gain it back, and he is a person that needs that. So I think that's one of the biggest things that's kind of sitting on him right now and bothering him.
That's his Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he ended up in the hospital over self-medicating for last season because of that.
I mean,
there's that article that was written about him that he cared so much about.
Because he needs people to like him. And that played a big part, I think, in that story about letting that guy just talk and not even bringing anything up, not listening to Mackenzie. She's screaming in his ear and he's just ignoring her. So that has to be really frustrating. And I like how she reprimands him. He comes out and she's hitting him, pushing him up against the wall.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I feel like she's the only person who can really reprimand him.
Yeah, I think she's the only one that he will let
It maybe Charlie, but like,
yeah, Charlie does it in such a different way. That's so wonderful. I love Charlie's character so much.
She slipped two pushes in there.
Yep. Yeah, she did. Like
just one at the end to secure it. Period.
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 Nice one.
Occasionally.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. All right. What what do we got next?
Did we talk more on the drone thing? I mean,
do you guys want to get more into it?
I find it fascinating is because we, as our country, haven't talked about drones until the last few months.
I know.
I just love the way that they, again, playing with truth a little bit, because nobody was talking about drones when it was first starting. Or very few people were. The efficacy of it, and the ethical nature of it, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, what do you think? I mean, what is your point on it?
I think it should be a national discussion.
But personally, like, what is your opinion? Would you like to give it?
Well,
what do you think about drones? Do you think that it's worth spending all of, you know, in these groups, like spending the money on
that?
Well,
I think what we've learned so far is that, they're a great way at getting an enemy, quote, an enemy. But there's such huge, the collateral damage is huge. And I think at this point we've learned it's causing more damage than is warranted. Mm-hmm. Because of the amount of enemies that we create because of it. Right. Trying to get one or two or 50 guys or whatever it is, and now you're creating thousands of people that are pissed off beyond belief. Because
innocent people, too.
Yeah.
And not to mention the human casualties, the lives that are being snuffed out that aren't people who are in any way a threat to America.
Right, because they can't tell the difference, really. There's nothing not even, there.
And they're counting them as militants.
Yeah, everybody gets counted.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part about, like, I get both sides of it.
Yeah.
But that's the scariest part about it, I think, just for me personally, exactly. Listening to that, is that they don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get it. It's not a pilot, so we're not, you know, that's a casualty we're saving. But
absolutely.
It doesn't know.
And I think that should be part of the discussion. Why isn't that a debate? My God, I don't want us as a country to be killing innocent people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's killing, because I don't know what the ratio is. I forgot what the ratio is. There's a ratio to how many innocents that are killed for every terrorist that we get. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're doing that. And I just think as a country, we should discuss that before, or in some fashion. I know we have representatives. We've already elected them, and they're supposed to be doing our bidding, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But when we don't even know this is happening.
Well, I think that's that was Sloan's big argument, is that there's not a discussion about
it. There's no transparency about it. I mean, and because they are not keeping accurate records because they don't really want us to know.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute. Why isn't that part of the national discussion?
Yeah, well, why would they tell us? Everybody would go nuts. And all the billions of dollars that they're spending, it's going to turn into Star Wars out here with all these, And that's kind of, it's a scary thought to think that people are spending billions and billions of dollars on something that is, there's such a high risk of casualties that have no business having that we don't need to have.
And I even agree with the captain's arguments about the pilots and all that. I mean, I agree with all that. I just think it should be all front and center and let us know all of it. I don't agree with this idea that the American public is too naive or too ignorant or too shallow or not interested. Mm-hmm. I think it, for me anyway, I would want to know that.
Well, I think that the public is perceived that way because the government doesn't trust us to communicate. And it's always been that way. Like, how often can you really sit and get a real story out of anyone?
And the argument can be made that they're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. It's
argument, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. And, I mean, it still hasn't happened, so I doubt it's going to anytime soon either. But I don't know.
Even the president is going, well, maybe you should put this in check. We need some balances here so even I don't go crazy with this.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. All right, yeah, so that was my thing about... Okay, now I'm off my show.
It's a very intense
Should we go back to the Romney bus?
The Romney bus! The Romney bus!
Speaking of drones.
I know.
Oh, sorry. All right, so the Taliban...
Send your letters to Kendra.
The Taliban comment affects everyone in this episode, even Jim, as he tries to board the Romney bus. Yeah. Go ahead, Kendra. What happened?
Oh, well... He tried to get on the Romney bus, and apparently there was a similar bouncer to the one that was at the...
another guy with a clipboard, did you know?
Right.
Yeah.
He had a clipboard.
Who wouldn't let him onto the press bus, even though there were, 40 seats available?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's, again, because of how they present the news.
Yep.
And represent.
I have to wonder, did Ben also have to drive himself, or is this a new thing with... Jim all of a sudden.
Well, no, because remember, this is a week later, so that just happened.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Ben broke his ankle, so he wouldn't be climbing on a bus.
Do you think?
He was drunk during that whole debacle anyway, so they didn't blame him.
Do you think a longer conversation would have gotten him on the bus?
No. That guy just didn't want to hear it.
If anything, it would have been worse. His tires would have been slashed.
Again, you
got to
grease some palms.
He just didn't want to hear it. He had his mind made up, I think. He was
kind of passive.
Again, they should have sent Sloan in. She would have gotten on that bus.
And that's what we were saying earlier. Yeah.
I think
that issue is great because it's kind of played a little bit for laughs and everything. But here they are, you know, creating repercussions for the news. Because they don't like the way it was portrayed,
mm-hmm.
which you know, and you know, let's face it, Bush did that all the time. He prevented people from getting on his bus too when they didn't have flattering things to say to him.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just you know, art and intimidating life. But I go, is that? I mean, you can't. It's almost human nature. But you can't prevent it. But is that the thing? Is that what we want?
It's kind of like a sticks and stones thing. You know, everybody has their own opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And especially in politics, it's always going to be that way. Somebody's always going
to
call somebody else's
name. So in order to
have
access, you've got to be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
So then we don't get news. Mm-hmm. We get crap. We do.
It's just not. Yeah, it's another example.
We get propaganda in PR. No offense.
Hey.
Yeah, I hate those PR people.
So I can spin this around. Okay. You notice how I keep trying to cut the hard topics and keep moving on. You keep pulling it out. Stop it.
John should be in PR.
or
a lawyer.
That's damage control right there. Yeah. No, but I think it's definitely – I want to see how long that's going to – if it's going to go on to the next episode or if it finally this whole Tea Party thing will kind of die out a little bit or if it will continue to be brought up throughout the rest of it.
I think he's on the Romney campaign. It's going to be brought up. And as we saw with some of the new characters that are arriving, Jim's going to have a hard time being on this bus based on questions he wants to ask and his affiliation.
Right.
But I think what it does, because Jim's kind of oh, really? So that makes him even get deeper.
Yeah.
That was bad? Guess what I'm going to do now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has such a great way of kind of talking with people and getting something out of people because he's like this nice guy you really want to like, but he knows the right questions to ask and he knows how to make people feel dumb and really, okay, explain yourself. Why are you doing this? What is your issue?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a lot of people just kind of get on their soapbox and they forget what their issue even is. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun to watch him really pull that out of people.
Yeah. And I think situations like that, they include it just to remind the viewers more so that they do have to answer to Jane what's her name?
Leona.
You know, they do have, there's always someone up there that they need to answer to, be it the government, the network, or whoever. They're answering to someone and it's their business to please them or else they're off the air.
Which I find the most fascinating, we don't really talk about it, but that's what's most fascinating about news. They're always answering to somebody, so they it's always tainted in some way.
Well, they could run, I won't say what exactly the story was, but we actually recently, I got a bunch of emails about a story that we can't.
Which one?
that we can't run. The publicist said, if you run this, just remember when this person does something, they will remember what you reported. Now it just gets to be like, well, do we care about this person enough? Mm-hmm. Or is it more important to say that this happened? And it all depends on how big in my work case, how big the celebrity is, whether or not you want to run it. And the same thing gets to go with these news people.
Did you mean if they do something big that it's like a get, they won't tell you? Or you mean if they do something, they'll remember and they won't talk to
they
you?
They won't give you any.
They won't give you, like, let's say we run a story on, I shouldn't even use the name, but a big celebrity.
I'll use the name. You just tell me. You just nod.
I won't say anything, and you'll know it's right.
Well, yeah.
But if it's a big star, and big star, let's say, you know, does something really bad, and, you know, do we report on it or not? Because big star has a movie coming out soon.
So they won't go to you.
And we want do we want the exclusive, especially if other news outlets are reporting the story, and big star is going to be really PO'd at the other outlets that are doing it.
Because now, isn't it a bigger get to get the bad story over the The movie.
I'm sure that's part of the discussion. It depends on how big that, how big that star is.
How big that bad thing was. I mean, obviously, if it's in the past, like Britney Spears, you know, took an umbrella to, you know, everybody, I'm sure we reported
it's breaking.
Yeah. This was years ago. Flashback. You know, you report that because that's big news. In the celebrity world, not in the real.
Doesn't that play into the whole, everything that we're seeing on this show about Newsnight and how it's changing and the way that Will did it before to please the advertisers and now they're not? It's that same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you care enough about this, and did he care enough about the Tea Party? Obviously not for him to say what he did, but now here is all the consequences of that. Right. This and is what's happening.
How, we as a society, what do we care?
Chips are falling.
Mm-hmm. Are we more interested in that story? Do we need more substantive news stories,
advocacy, and they touched on that with the TMI thing and covering Casey Anthony. Do we need to do that? Apparently, we do. Like, what do people really want to see? And it's a constant question, and it's always going back and forth. And I feel that news has changed so much from the nightly news that I remember up to now. Everybody has
will be turning over in his grave.
Everyone has an entertainment show now. CNN has an entertainment show now.
And Twitter is the news now.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And I think that's one of the things that I love so much about the show is watching it change and the arguments that they have and the issues that they raise, just to see that. Because just, you know, from me growing up watching the news and how it's just changed in my lifetime. Like,
I think they do a good balance on is not only that, but with all the things, the forces that are against them or opposing them, but also what it could be.
Right.
Because, you know, when you look at some of the things that Newsnight does, you go, geez, why can't they have that?
I know.
Why can't they report like that? You know, so it is as he's always said, it's a romance.
Yeah, and it's about what do people really want to see. Yeah. And I think as a viewer, at least for me, it makes me think about it. What do I want to see on the news? Mm-hmm. What do I care about the most? Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting thing that this show can do.
Yeah.
Is I don't really think that it focuses so much on making people look stupid or the public feel stupid about what they're watching. Mm-hmm. It's more, what do you want to see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you want to watch the news? How do you want to be informed?
Right. I don't think the show makes us want to pick a side. Rather, it at least brings up the conversation so that it makes you think about the sides and where you want to be on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love it. It's interesting. It's very interesting. And there's always so much that's going on. So much is happening. All right, let's get into the romance.
Let's get rid of all this hard stuff.
Let's talk romance now. Let's talk relationships. So Maggie and Jim have a little awkward conversation. Mm. She's trying to, you know, kind of smooth things over, make everything go back to what it was. He doesn't want to. It's obviously always been awkward for them through the whole season, so he takes off. And now
after watching that little patty cake going on between her and Don, I don't even blame him. If I'm Jim, I'm just like, I just don't want to watch. Heck, if I'm Tess or if I'm, you know, I just want to leave.
I didn't want to watch it.
So you guys don't do that with your boyfriends?
Because
I do that.
Well, John says.
As we were watching
I've been married for quite a long time, and patty cake has kept us going.
Number one, right? You learn something.
Well, as we were watching it, you guys made a comment. I heard you, overheard you say that it was felt very forced. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they're really, I mean, we could tell. Yeah. We said that from the beginning. Yeah. Like they just don't. It's they're really trying so hard to put that, you know, square peg in a round hole, and it's just not like working. It doesn't fit. They don't fit together.
I mean, even I'll just say quickly.
Go ahead, Kendra.
To count down how many days, you know,
they've
been okay. Right. Day 13, we're going strong.
Like you got the thing. 320 days without an accident.
Right.
In a warehouse.
That was funny.
13 days.
But then the fact that he said that when Sloan asked him, like, what do you get once you reach 2 weeks? And his answer was a healthy conscience.
Yeah.
You know, that's telltale sign.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Great minds. Sorry. You're not in love. Yeah. Nope.
No. It shouldn't. It's not forced. You don't count days that you're good together. Good.
I get the relationships are hard and they take work in a certain way, but it shouldn't be that hard. I mean, not that hard. I've been a good boyfriend for 13 days. I get a gold star for that. No, you should always see a good.
I think that was a good one. Did you hear her?
No,
what did you have to say it again?
Oh, I said things should just be good.
Yeah,
no, but it was longer. You said
I have a short attention span. I just know things.
Rewind the podcast.
She just knows things. Yeah.
No, but it's true with any relationship that's good. You don't need to work that hard at it. If there's a problem, you sit down and talk about it like adults. You don't break up like Maggie and Don a million times. And
how many times have we seen it in real life?
And how often does it work out, though?
Never.
And then if they do, they're just unhappy, and they'll probably end up divorced in 10 years anyways.
So communication is key. That's the thing. You have to talk about things, and they obviously... To be in the communications business, that's what's funny.
You don't have to talk. You have to patty cake.
Well, their discussion would be like, I don't love you, but I can't tell you. Like, how do you... Neither of them...
Well, and how horrible was that? I know I told you guys. When he said, I thought I was being the bad guy because I didn't love you, and he says that to Maggie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, even if he felt that, I think that was a terrible way to say it. Not that Don's known for being super suave or anything
like
that.
It's so a character, though.
It's his ego, though, because his ego was, freaking bruised by her. There's this YouTube video about his now ex-girlfriend being in love with somebody else. So he's probably thinking subconsciously, I gotta burn this girl back somehow.
He could have a perfect opportunity for Don to walk away, and we all kind of maybe feel slightly bad for him, and then he says I'm like, F you! Get out!
Wait, I didn't understand. Was his cousin on the bus, or the cousin got the video from
the cousin got the video, the video online.
Apparently the cousin's in love with Don.
So Maggie's cousin... Was the one that outed her. Maggie's cousin outed her, was emailing Don, sent him the video, and told him that Jim was on the bus. So that's what happened. Her Sex and the Pity rant, as HBO is calling it, on YouTube.
You know what I find funny and ironic is that these people are, they are experts at communicating to the masses about serious issues. But when it comes to interpersonal relationships,
their EQ,
communicating with each other, oh my gosh, train wreck.
I find a lot of people are almost similar to that. There's very few that can balance that personal side with the business. You're usually one lacks if you're so focused on it. Again, there's the occasional people that can do both, but normally, I have family members that were huge in their careers, and they couldn't utter a sentence with the guy. They were the Sloan.
Kristen, you're making me think about where I fit in.
Which one are you?
Sometimes being in the communications business does not necessarily mean that in your personal life you are a great communicator. It's funny how that works out.
I like that the YouTube title with Maggie, though. Did you guys notice it said, Another New Yorker Loses It?
Yes. That was pretty funny.
Kind of samples.
But I feel that the whole thing with Don saying that to her, as horrible as it was in the timing and everything, I'm kind of glad that he did, because she needed to hear that. She needs to move on. She needs to just... Somebody had to say it. They didn't love each other. One of them had to say it to the other eventually. And it's, why draw it out? Like, it said it. It's done.
I have a question. I'm no big defender of Don's, but based on what he had just seen and witnessed, was it really that bad? Because I didn't find it to be that much of a barb.
I just think it's always heartbreaking when somebody comes up to you and says, by the way, I never loved you. I thought it was a bad guy.
Honestly, I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was that bad either.
I thought it was way more revealing about what an idiot Don was.
He was trying to be with her, and he wasn't in love with her.
Right, exactly. So, it makes you an idiot.
Exactly, right. She wasn't in love with him either, so they were both equally stupid, and just he was the one that said it out loud, really.
He was probably relieved.
I felt the burn, though.
That's what I'm asking.
The truth can hurt. And that the truth is they're not in love with each other. And to just realize and verbally say that this relationship.
But he just saw that video. And talk about the truth.
Yeah, she just saw...
That video seemed like a...
For both of them.
Yeah.
It would hurt.
Well, he saw however many people have seen it on YouTube, and not only, at least he said to her in private, I don't love you.
It was face to face.
She said to everyone and to a bus full of strangers that she was in love with Jim, and then everybody on YouTube gets to see it.
That's what I mean. It's like in comparison.
Points don't go to her, though, because she looked like a crazy
lunatic. Neither one of them gets points. The bottom line
she's
is...
She's like, I'm in love with not my boyfriend! Like,
I'm so happy it's over.
It's over. They're broken up. It's done.
Did you notice how many hits it got?
No, I didn't
see it. I didn't know. We got to rewind later.
Sorry.
That would be good to know.
Then it changes.
That would be very good to know.
All in all, all, great episode. I'm excited to see those two move on, move apart, see what happens. Are Dawn and Sloan going to get together? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we'll there's see. Chemistry there.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some news and gossip. All right. Well, one thing I want to say, because I'm super excited about it, and I really wanted to Instagram this to everyone, but I couldn't. But I had the fortunate pleasure of actually meeting Aaron Sorkin a couple of weeks ago.
What?
I did. I met him at this event that one of my clients was sponsoring, and he was lovely, very nice. I told him about our after show. He's really excited about it, to watch it, and has told me that he wants to come on and join us.
Breaking news right now.
We'll see. That is awesome. You know, he told me that the
send
cast
Sloan to get him.
I know. So we're going to try to really work that out and make that happen. He seemed really open to it and is really excited about it and loved that we actually are fans of the show and watch and talk about it in the way that
and
we
do.
And
if you guys want to see him on, tweet HBO or something. Help us out.
Help us out. Yes. But he was very nice, and it was intimidating. It was funny to see everybody be so intimidated by him.
Tweet
but
Sorkin, go on AfterBuzz.
Yes, that's where we need to get that trending. Sorkin on AfterBuzz.
That's right.
Hashtag Sorkin on AfterBuzz, everybody.
I like
so
that.
Anyway, that's so we're working on that on the side. So.
The power of social media.
We're working on getting a few special guests for this season, so we'll keep you posted when we have them officially
Sorkin
confirmed.
Would be a good get.
Yeah. Oh, you know. Whatever. Right.
He's just the creator of the show.
No, it would be fantastic.
That would be awesome to get out. Sorkin on the desk.
I know.
And ask him his favorite Sorkinism.
Exactly. All right. So what do you guys have for news and gossip? What do we got?
Oh, I can just do mine quickly.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Mine was just that Dev Patel, who we know is dating Frida Pinto in real life, has said that she forces him to watch himself on the show. And it was just a quick article about it, but it was cute. Because he said she'll say things like, "Wait, you did that scene better in the bathroom," you know. So just a little behind the scenes.
Oh, cute! So she likes to give him her own constructive criticism.
Yeah,
nice.
That's helpful.
And then just my quick one to go back to Aaron Sorkin, where he was just talking about how he gets in contact with people in the news to make sure that his stories work really well, and he works with MSNBC's Chris Matthews, you know, a bunch of other people, and one of the guys that got back to him about the big Operation Genoa that we're going to hear more about was actually based on a story of the U.S. Army using chemical weapons in Laos in 1970, and it turns out there was a lot of trouble with this story. It was called Operation Tailwind, and Rick Kaplan kind of helped him develop like what they went through when they reported on that, and there was a lot of trouble with it, and that was, you know, and he also said he had a couple of other, you know, unnamed sources he can't say who were part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, during that time, and so he did his research, so I think it's going to parallel that story quite a bit, and as we noticed, he does use a lot of parallels with news sources.
Cool, and me and Kelly actually got a lot of inside info at the Paley Fest that we told you we attended back in March at the Q&A. So I'll just say one little fun fact because we're running out of time. But so Jeff Daniels was talking about the infamous speech that we all know about from season one, episode one, and a funny exchange happened between Aaron Sorkin and Jeff Daniels when they were rehearsing and they're about to actually shoot that scene. Aaron asked Jeff, "So do you need cue cards for this? Because I know it's really long, because actually the speech is like pages and pages long, right?" And to prove to Aaron that he knew the speech, Jeff actually recited it backwards.
Oh my gosh.
Which seems crazy to me. And, like, it would be scripted into the show. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, oftentimes that's how you memorize something.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it helps.
But pages and pages?
No, that's surprising.
I mean, that's talent right there. That's it. Yeah, that's talent. He knows that's what he's doing.
Yeah,
and one thing that we didn't get to mention is on the show, the intern is back, and he had her researching musicals. He had her doing like historical musicals and all this weird research. So I wonder how big her part is going to be as this season progresses. But hopefully we'll see a little bit more of her. I think that's just an interesting thing.
Yep.
She's the one that started it all. All the downfall with that infamous question.
It's always musicals with Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, Well, anyway, thanks again so much, everybody, for hanging out with us. We're so excited that this show is back. We are can't wait for the next season, and make sure to follow us here on AfterBuzz on Twitter, and you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
You can follow me, Kristen Carroll 13, on Twitter.
You can follow me at Kendra Cavasel.
You can follow me at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
You can't follow me anyway.
No, you, at AfterBuzz TV.
And no, you
John's
can't
off the
me
grid.
There. But you can see me on Serial Buddies. We're out. Marissa, help me out. When's it coming out? Where?
It's available on iTunes for download. $4.99 to rent. $5.99 to buy. Really
awesome
funny.
Movie. John is hilarious in it.
Very, very funny.
Maria Menounos is also in it.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys next week, and I promise I will not call Leona Fiona again. Thank you.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Tech, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.